Good morning, everyone. My name is James Warren, and I serve as the evangelist of the Harlem region of the New York City Church of Christ. I'm honored to be able to bring to you today's message, and I do pray that you will find some encouragement at our time together. At the conclusion of the message, we will break bread together. I'll pray for the bread, which represents the body of Christ, and the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that flowed from Jesus that purifies us from all sins. So hopefully you're prepared to take communion with us at the end of the message. I think it goes without saying that we are in some pretty scary times. I've never witnessed anything like this. I doubt you have. We are definitely in a storm, if you will. And storms are scary. Some storms can be very scary. They remind us of just how small we are, how powerless we are, how vulnerable we really are. And in fact, James says in his letter that there will be trials of many kinds. And this is a trial of a kind that none of us was prepared for. I mean, if you think about it, it's clear that this global storm, no one was prepared for. Our healthcare system, our educational system, our economic system, we're not prepared for this. Travel industry, believe it or not, the toilet paper industry, the hand sanitizing industry, small businesses, large businesses, all ill prepared for the storm. Parents, we were not prepared for this. Overnight, I became a televangelist, a math teacher, an elementary school principal. My wife became the lunch lady. She became a school bus driver. We were not prepared for this, all right? We're all teetering on the edge of uncertainty and borderline insanity because no one was prepared for this. I recently heard about a conversation that gave me a little hope between a rabbi and a woman who was also teetering on the edge of uncertainty. And it went something like this. The woman said, "This coronavirus thing has really thrown me. I feel like I've lost all sense of certainty. No one knows what will happen next. And how do we stay sane when we don't know what's lurking around the corner?" And the rabbi responded with this. "It's not that we've lost our sense of certainty. It's that we've lost our illusion of certainty. We never had it to begin with. And this could be majorly unsettling or amazingly liberating. This tiny virus of 125 nanometers has sent the entire world into chaos. All our plans up in the air. Markets are going crazy. Entire countries are shutting down. And we have no clue as to what the future holds." But that was always the case. We never know what the future holds. We only think we do and keep getting surprised when things don't pan out the way we expected. And now that the mask is off, we have to admit our vulnerability. What will happen next? We don't know. Our experts don't know. Our leaders don't know. Our government doesn't know. Only God knows. And that's the point. God knows. So close your eyes, feel the uncertainty, make peace with it, let yourself be taken by it, embrace your cluelessness. Because in all the confusion, there's one thing you know for sure. You are in God's hands. Keep calm. Panic and fear are also contagious. Take every precaution as advised by the health authorities. Wash your hands well. And every time you do, remember whose hands you're in. I mean, I thought that was powerful. You know, anxiety is high, fear is setting in. You're about to lose your mind because you became a math teacher, lunch lady, elementary school principal, and gym teacher overnight. But God offers us peace in the pandemic. And my goal today is to inspire you to receive that peace that Jesus offers us in this pandemic. The scripture we're going to be looking at today is Mark chapter 4, verses 37 through 41. Mark chapter 4, verses 37 through 41. And it reads in verse 37, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, saying, "Quiet and be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." You know, some of the disciples were fishermen. You would think that they experienced a storm or two before. But for some reason, this furious squall took them by surprise, and they were unprepared and gave way to fear. Fear overcame the disciples. Now, here's the thing. Fear is natural. And there are storms of many kinds that we have to try to be prepared for. Some you may be experiencing right now in the midst of this big storm. There's a financial storm. How will I have a job after this? Will I have a business after this? Will I be able to come up from under the bills? There's the emotional storm. Wave after wave of bad news can lead to depression and further anxiety. There's the relational storms. Things can come up in our marriage. You can't go anywhere for 14 days, so you got to work it out. If you're single and you struggle with loneliness, you may feel an increased sense of loneliness during this time of isolation. And then there's that spiritual storm where, for some of us who relied on those Sunday services, those midweek services, those small group discussions to be fed spiritually. And now that that spiritual structure has been removed, we don't know what to do. And we feel as if we're in a spiritual tailspin. You know, fear is a natural response when things are out of control. And God understands that. But fear without faith gives way to doubt. Doubt leads to disbelief. Disbelief leads to disconnection. And disconnection leads to spiritual death because we're severed from the head, which is Jesus Christ. You know, when fear takes over, we respond just like the disciples did in the boat. In verse 38, "Teacher, don't you care?" For them, it was drowning. They thought Jesus didn't care about them drowning. But what is it for you? What do you feel like Jesus doesn't care about? What do you feel like he's ignoring? You know, I remember feeling the same way. Most of you know about the storms my family faced in 2015, my son's multiple surgeries, losing my mom to cancer, all the unexpected family drama that came up all around the same time. And in addition to that, the daily pressures of leading the ministry. You know, I remember praying and saying these very words, "Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that my son is suffering? Don't you care that my mom is dying? Don't you care that I'm at odds with this family member? Don't you care that I'm feeling lonely, I'm feeling alone in all this? Don't you care?" And, you know, sometimes it feels like that. And it's because we're the ones panicking and Jesus is not. You know, the disciples in the boat will get an answer to that question very soon. You know, we have a choice. We can face it. We can face this thing like the disciples did in the boat, with panic and fear. Or we can face this like Jesus, who was so at peace that he was able to take a nap during this storm. You know, to the disciples, they took Jesus' serenity as indifference. Now, serenity is not freedom from the storm, but peace amid the storm. And we often have this misconception that in order for us to be at peace, we have to avoid the storms of life. We have to avoid the trials of life. We have to avoid the trouble of life. But what that leads to and what that develops is weak faith. See, God uses those storms, those trials, to strengthen our faith. Jesus, and thank God that this is who he is, but Jesus does not respond to storms the way that you and I do. Jesus responds to storms with faith. He was at peace, and the good news is that this is the same peace that he's offering to us today. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." Ask yourself, can Jesus take a nap in my home? Or will he be awakened by prayers of panic? Now, Jesus gives us peace by giving us himself, all of himself, including his power to be still amidst the storm. This is not the way the world gives us peace. You know, the world is thinking, I just want this to be over. I just want to get through this as fast as possible. I want this to be over. It's uncomfortable, and I don't like it. But that's not the way Jesus gives us peace. You see, it's in his presence that we overcome fear and gain peace. And we need to embrace the uncertainties of this time, because that's when we realize and remember whose hands we're in. Now, Jesus had silenced storm after storm after storm after storm in my life and in yours too. He did it with the power of his words. He did it by giving us himself. And I want to encourage you this week to face the thing you fear the most with God's promise. I want to encourage you to identify what that is and find a promise or a verse in the Bible that will help you overcome that fear, and commit that verse to memory. You know, for me, it's Hebrews 11, verse 1, where it talks about and basically defines what faith is. And it says that, you know, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And I need that in these uncertain times. I need to hold on to something that will be there during these uncertain times. That I need something that I can anchor my faith in, anchor my soul to, and that's Jesus' promises. That's God's word. Now, James, you may be saying, how did Jesus respond to the disciples when they said, "Don't you care?" And I thought about that. Imagine Jesus being accused of not caring. I mean, let that sink in for a second. Jesus, of all people, being accused of not caring. Turn over to Romans chapter 5, and we'll conclude here. Romans chapter 5. As we get ready to take communion together, as we get ready to break the bread and take the fruit of the vine, I want you to meditate on this verse. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, it says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So the question is, again, does he care? I think that the cross, Jesus' death on the cross, speaks for itself. So as we take the bread, as we take the body of Jesus that's represented by the bread and the juice, which represents the blood, Let's remember, let's reflect on this peace that Jesus offers us, this peace that transcends all understanding, this peace that enables us to weather this storm. Let's reflect on that and the fact that we get this peace through salvation in Christ. Let's pray. God in heaven, Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the bread which represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we break this bread, that you will help us to remember the sacrifice that was made for us on the cross. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.